Thank you, Leon. I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. While you're turning there, and verses 16 through 22, while you're turning there, let me just say a couple things. Number one, if you have purchased one of these poinsettias up here and would like to take it with you, you can do that today. So don't forget about that. They are going to start going the other way here pretty soon. So if you've purchased one, please take it with you this morning. And also, I see some visitors with us today, and I failed to mention that at the beginning. It's good to have you here as well, and welcome, and hopefully you find our service a blessing to you this morning as well. And so Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23, and I am going to go ahead and take this off. Because it's hot up here, okay? I see a lot of you snickering at me out there. But we're going to pick up right where we left off last time I was here with you. We looked last time, probably a month or two ago, at Galatians 5, verses 13 through 17. And if you remember, let me bring you up to speed very quickly, and then we'll move on with the message today. But we looked at verses 13 through 17 last time, and we talked all about what it is to walk by the Spirit, or some of your translations will say walk in the Spirit. And we talked about what it is to do that and what that means. And if you remember, it simply means that I am walking closely with God. It means that I am in the Word. I am in the Word of God. I am hearing from Him. I am listening to Him. I am submitting myself to Him in every way. I am living my life in obedience to Him. I want Him. And that is what it is to walk by the Spirit. That's it in a nutshell. And we talked a lot about an awful lot of the details last time, but that is it in a nutshell. Here it is. The gospel message, we all know, we've all heard this so many times. We were all born in our trespasses and sins. We were all born that way. At one time or another, everybody, according to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. At one time or another, we have all sinned somehow in some way and broken the law of God. Broken the law and broken His commandments. And because of that, God's commandments and God's laws stand over us, or they did stand over us before we got saved. They stood over us and condemned us. Said, you're guilty. You've broken God's laws. And we all know from Romans chapter 6, in verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Because we've broken the commandments of God and we stand condemned underneath them, we deserve to spend a godless eternity separated from Him forever in a place called hell. That's what we deserve. However, and we just celebrated this, just very recently, you can see behind me, it's still up. But God came. But God loved us in such a wonderful way. By the way, think about that every morning when you wake up. We all need to do this, okay? Think about that. That every morning when you wake up, think about the fact that you and I are perfectly loved by a perfect God. Think about that. A God who did not owe us anything at all. He didn't owe us a thing. We were His creation, for crying out loud. And most of us would have probably said, let's just start over. Okay? That's not what He did. He loved us to the point where He came. And He came and He lived a perfect life. And He died. And through His death, burial, and resurrection, He took the penalty of sin that was rightfully ours. And He now sits at the right hand of God the Father. And when we get saved, when I look up at Jesus Christ and accept what He did for my sins on the cross, accept that and say, yes, Lord, I accept the fact that I could not make it on my own. You have paid my penalty and I accept that from You. Accept the free gift of salvation. What happens, and we talked about this last time, is I am liberated from the law of God. It no longer stands over me and condemns me because I now am under the blood of Jesus Christ and I stand before God justified as if I have never sinned at all. That's the gospel message. And I am now called to live a different kind of a life. That's the whole, that was the whole message last time. I'm now called to live a different life than I lived before. And it's a life of not self-serving, enjoying my liberties and indulging myself in the lusts of the flesh and all of those things. Not that, but I'm to live a life that fulfills the law of God, which the law of God is fulfilled in one word, and that word is love. I'm now called to live a life of love to my Lord Jesus Christ and to people around me. That's the life I'm called to live now, okay? So that is what it is to walk by the Spirit. So that's it in a nutshell. Hopefully that brings you up to speed a little bit. And now we're going to get into the message for today. Look at your Bibles in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. It is so important, and we're going to look at today, it is so important that we walk by the Spirit. That we walk by the Spirit, because our lives are going to take on a different look whenever we choose to walk day by day by the Spirit or in the Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Look at your Bibles in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start at verses 16 through 17 here for a moment. And the Bible says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." If you're taking notes, point number one today is the line in the sand. The line in the sand. Because basically, here's what Paul is doing. What Paul decides to do before he really gets into walking in the Spirit is he's going to draw a line right in the sand for everybody, really making this a black and white issue. Okay, so let me go ahead and do that. This is what Paul does, okay? Okay, if you can see me, I'm going to put my foot out. We're going to draw a nice little line right here. Can you see that? Okay, good. All right. Okay, that's going to be our line. That's what the Apostle Paul does. He draws a line in the sand, and he really makes it a black and white issue. And here's his message to us. He's basically saying, you cannot have it both ways. Okay? This is black and white. There is no overlap, okay? You are either walking by the Spirit on this side of the line, or you are all the way over here, and you're fulfilling the desires of your flesh. That is the two choices that you have. Okay? Some people, and hopefully this isn't you today, but some people really, really get this mixed up. They really believe that they can actually straddle this thing. Okay? And they think that they can do some things that kind of are godly and that God is pleased with and have kind of one foot here, but I still don't want to give up everything, and I still want to indulge in the desire, and really sinful desires is what they are. That's what the word refers to there. I want to indulge in some sinful desires of my flesh, and I really want to keep a foot here, but I want to keep a foot here too. And so hopefully I look godly to some people, but I also look cool to some other people. And what Paul is saying is you cannot do that. That is an impossibility. Whenever you try and do that, what you are actually doing is you are actually all the way over here, and you don't even know it, okay? Because the Bible says that when I walk by the Spirit, I will not fulfill the desires of my flesh. I won't do it. When I step over this line and I am walking by the Spirit, being fully controlled by Him, in the Word, wanting the Word, pursuing God, all of those things in total submission to Him, when I am standing on this side, controlled by the Holy Spirit, I will not fulfill the desires of my flesh. We have to know that. We have to get that straight. And when I was in my early 20s, very early 20s, I worked at a Christian camp that many of you have heard before. I worked at a Christian camp down in North Carolina called the Wilds. And I was down there, excuse me, for 12 weeks. And in those 12 weeks, it was a really good experience. I learned a lot. Got to see the Lord do a lot of mighty works down there in my life and in a lot of the people I got to rub shoulders with, campers. But for 12 weeks, I was down there, and I worked alongside a staff of that numbered close to 200 individuals. And every week, we had close to 1,000 campers come through that we ran summer camp for. So in all that time, there was 1 week of training, and then there was 11 weeks of camp. In that time, close to 11,000 campers came through that we got to minister to and have camp with. And in all of that going on, with all of the responsibilities, with all of the stuff that you had to prepare for to run a camp that big and to be part of a camp of that size, there was a lot of responsibilities. There was a lot of things that had to be done. There was a lot of games that had to be prepared for. There was you constantly had to be ready to counsel other people. There was just a lot going on all of the time. Does anyone feel like their life is that way? Maybe, yeah. Okay, but there was a lot going on. There was so much going on that the full time staff at the Wilds, they had one thing figured out, and it was simply this: that there is too much going on for anyone to be selfish. And that was one thing that they just drilled into us. They said, we have way too much going on. We do not have time to be selfish. Nobody has time to be selfish. No one has time to jump over and decide that they're going to please themselves for a little while and indulge in some sinful desires. No, there's not time for that. There's too much to do. There's way too many people to minister to. Everybody has to be walking with God. That's the way it has to be down here. And there was a poem that they just absolutely drilled into me and drilled into all of us as a staff. We said this over and over and over again, and I never forgot it. Well, it's short, so I could remember it. But here's the poem that we said over and over and over and over again. It was this: there's only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. There's only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. You don't get to grab both of them. You either grab one or you grab the other one. And I never have forgotten that poem. My wife takes it upon herself to recite this to me every once in a while. Guys, does your wife do that to you sometimes? And honestly, isn't it something? I mean, we can so quickly, without even thinking about it, we can be over here all of a sudden, not walking according to what the Spirit would have us do. I mean, it can happen so quick. I mean, there are times when, I don't know, somebody will say something that's, I don't know, maybe a little bit, for lack of, something that they shouldn't have said to me. And I can get fired up, you know, and I can, you know, start, you know, thinking, oh man, I can't believe that they said something like that. And I want to, you know, my blood's starting to boil. You ever get there? my blood really starts to boil, and I'm just ready to kind of lay into somebody, and oh man, I can't believe this. And what is that? That's a sinful desire, isn't it? That's a sinful desire. I desire to act a way that is contrary to the way the Holy Spirit would have me act, right? But I desire that. It's going to make me feel really, really, really good if I can just get my hands on somebody, okay? And my wife sees me all the way over there. I don't know I'm on that side of the line. I haven't figured it out yet. But she sees it, and she, you know, and you know, like a sweet wife does, you know, that real soft, you know, mouse-like voice, and just, you know, Aaron, there's only two choices on the shelf. And doesn't that just rip you up, guys? I mean, really? It's the last thing you want to hear. It's the absolute last thing you want to hear. You're really into it. It's the last thing you want to hear because it really just hurts your pride. It really just hurts you because you actually have to admit that she's right and you're wrong. But that's the way it can go. That's what happens. And what we have to understand, what we have to remember is you will pick a side. You will pick a side. As a Christian, you will pick a side every once in a while. It's either this side or it's this side. You don't get to choose between two of them. Or I'm sorry, you do get to choose between two, but you can't choose them both at the same time. It's one or the other. Let's go to verses 19 through 21. Let's read along here. And Paul goes on in these verses and gives us the works of the flesh. Not all of them, but he gives us a lot of them. Here's what he says. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, there's one, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, right before I move on here, I just want to say, I just want to make one comment. Right before we get into walking by the Spirit and everything that that's going to mean, I just want to make a comment about what the Apostle Paul says here. When he says that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, I just want to be clear on this. He is not saying that you and I, as Christians, whenever we're saved and under the blood of Jesus Christ, he's not saying that you will never do these things. He's not saying that you will never struggle with these things, okay? He's not saying that you'll never sin, okay? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, we read this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, okay? So we will always struggle with sin because we still have our old nature that's within us that we'll never be rid of until the Lord comes back, okay? So we will struggle with these things. What he is saying here is this, when he says, those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God, that word do there is from the Greek word praso. And that Greek word carries the idea of habitually practicing. It means this is what these people do all the time. Here's his whole point. Christian, this is what people that are not under the blood of Jesus Christ partake in. And they partake in it on a regular basis. All the time, all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. This is the kind of stuff that they do. These works, these desires of the flesh. This is what they do. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, giving them another choice of what they can do. This is the only choice they have. So therefore, this is what they're going to partake in all the time, all the time, all the time. And what he's saying is, as a Christian, don't do that. Don't do that. Instead of fulfilling the desires of your flesh and walking in these kind of works that you used to walk in before you were under the blood of Jesus Christ, now you're called to live differently. Not that you will never step over there and struggle with that occasionally, but you are called to this life now. A life of walking in the Spirit. A life of love. That's what it is. And that's his whole point. So now we're going to get, so now let's go to point number two, and we're going to get into what will my life look like when I'm walking by the Spirit, when I'm walking in the Spirit. It's going to take on a different kind of a look. There's different things that are going to start to show themselves in my life when I choose to pursue God, choose to pursue His Word, and walk with Him, and be submissive to Him in what His Word says. And what's going to start to show up in our lives is simply this, and we've all seen this list before. What's going to show up in our lives is simply the fruit of the Spirit. This fruit is going to start to show itself. Now, I just want to I want to say one thing before we get into this, that this fruit, remember, is a fruit actually of God. Okay? It's not a we can't get this mixed up. It's not a fruit of me or you. It's all a fruit of God. God has to do the work here to bring this fruit out in your life and in my life. He's going to do all of the work. Our job is to choose to walk with Him on a daily basis, choose to walk by the Spirit. His job is to produce this fruit in my life. No matter how hard I work, and no matter how hard you work, I cannot just wake up in the morning and just say, okay, I'm going to produce love. Love, 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 love. Boop. Okay, there it is. Okay. Next one, joy. Oh, I want joy. Oh, joy. Boop. There that one is. Okay. That's not going to happen. So don't try and do that. Okay. Too many people try and do that. And they get real frustrated whenever this stuff doesn't start to happen to them. And they're trying so hard. Okay. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Word. And He will produce in you the fruits of Himself. Let's look at point number two, the fruit of the Spirit. What will your life look like as you walk in the Spirit? Number one, and we do not, and our time is quickly disappearing, and we are going to actually cover all nine of these, so hang on. We're going to really roll here, okay? Guys, hold on to your wife, and here we go, okay? Number one is love, and we have all heard this one before. If you've been in this church, you've heard Pastor Scheit preach on this time and time and time again. This one is so important. It comes from the Greek word agape. We've all heard that word before. It is simply the exact kind of love that Jesus Christ gave to you and I whenever He came and died for our sins. When John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He came and died, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's what that love is. It is a self-sacrificing of yourself for somebody else. That's what this is. Let me just give you a definition so that you can have this. This love is simply defined giving of yourself sacrificially in someone else's best interest, with the right heart attitude, not expecting anything in return, even when the other person doesn't deserve it. Love is an action, something that we do. It is something that I guess I can feel sometimes, depending on whatever circumstance I'm in, but I don't necessarily have to feel it, because it is in itself an action. I am self-sacrificing myself on behalf of somebody else in order to better them in some way. That's what this love is. Let me ask you something. Are you a loving person? Would the people that are closest to you say that you're a loving person? Husbands, in what way do you sacrifice yourself sacrificially for your wife? Wives, likewise, what ways do you sacrifice yourself for your husband? What do you give up? What are you willing to give up to better somebody else? How about for your extended family? How about for your neighbors? How about for your children? Do you have a loving relationship with them? Is this fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? Or is there some work that needs to be done here in this? When we walk by the Spirit, whenever we pursue Him in His Word, over time, this fruit will become evident in your life as you walk by the Spirit. Next one, number two. Number two is joy. What is joy? Well, the Greek word used for joy here is the word chara. And it simply means, well, this is it in a nutshell. It simply means to enjoy the Lord, to delight in the Lord. And carries with it, though, the idea of inward delight and satisfaction of my soul. That's what joy is. This, let me say this real fast. This is not referring to happiness. Let me draw a distinction right here, okay? This is not referring to happiness. Your happiness and joy are two different things. Happiness is based totally on circumstantial things. You and I go through circumstances that make us happy every day, and we also go through circumstances that steal our happiness. Some of you got the present you wanted for Christmas. Okay, that's happiness, okay? That's a happy circumstance. Some of you didn't get the present you wanted. Maybe you were a little bit disappointed, okay? Maybe your happiness kind of went away from you for a little bit. These kinds of circumstances happen all of the time. Our happiness comes and goes. Joy is something totally different. Joy is something that totally comes from God. It's given to you by the Holy Spirit whenever you walk with Him. It's got nothing to do with outside circumstances. Let me read to you this verse that is so important. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, it says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy." You know, one of the things that I find over and over again, and this verse is so incredibly true, is the time when I find I can count on just the joy of the Lord finding me and being able to enjoy Him and delight in who He is, is simply put when I am in His presence. When I take my time in the morning to separate myself for a while and concentrate on His Word in Bible reading and prayer. That's where I find it's a guarantee. You find the fullness of joy in the presence of God. Just enjoying who He is and reading about what He is and who He is and what He wants me to be and praising Him for what He has done and praying things back to Him and just enjoying that close relationship in the presence of God is fullness of joy. You know what I find? So many times when people come to me and they're looking to talk and because of something going on in their life, they're looking for maybe a little counseling or a little encouragement of some kind. When people come to me and their joy is just, like it's just written all over them, it's not there. It's not there at all. There is no joy of the Lord present with them. One of the questions that I tend to ask pretty quickly is, before we get into anything, will you please tell me about your time with God? What is your time with God like? When do you spend it with Him? What are you going through in His Word and stuff? Can you just talk to me about that a little bit? And one of the things that I have found to be true a lot of the time is when I ask that question, people put their head down And they say, you know what? I've really kind of been slipping with that. And you know, it makes perfect sense. For in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. That close relationship that I can have with Him. But look, there's one more aspect, and we'll move on here to the third one. There's one more aspect of this I want to look at. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, so it can be found in a close relationship with God, but it is also in an obedient relationship with Him. Not only a close one, but also an obedient relationship. Let me read to you a passage of Scripture in John 15, verses 10 through 11. This is Jesus talking. Listen to what He says. And He says, if you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is what Jesus is saying. Here it is. That He's saying, here's where I get My joy personally. I get it from doing the will of My Father. I get it from walking in obedience to God, My Father. And He's saying, you get it the exact same way. It's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do me any good if I spend time with God here in the morning and then I close my Bible and I walk off and just do whatever I want to do and don't really care about walking in obedience. It's not going to do much good. Whenever I walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, do what He has called me to do, obey Him, obey His commandments, that is where I will find joy. Jesus says, that's where I find joy, and you will find it the exact same place. Joy is found not only in having a close relationship with God, but also in walking in obedience to Him. Are you a joyful person? Is this part of you? Do you find yourself in just delighting in who the Lord is because of the relationship you have with Him? And do you have that inward soul satisfaction that He is pleased with you because of your obedience to Him, and that is all that matters? Is that you today? Or does the Holy Spirit have a little bit of work He needs to do? Number three, let's move on. Number three is peace. And this word peace is simply an inner calm. Now, whenever you break the Greek word down, it's an inner calm that I have when I choose to trust the Lord through the storms of life. This one has a lot to do with my trust in the Lord, if the Holy Spirit is going to produce in me the fruit of peace. A scripture passage that is really good for this is Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, where the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let me ask you this. And my hand is going to go up, and I'm just going to be honest with you here for a minute. Whenever I am going through the fire, kind of whatever a hard circumstance, when I'm going through something, I'll be honest, I tend to get extremely anxious and extremely worried and very stressed out. Anybody else going to be honest with me and say, yeah, that might explain me just a little bit, okay? Thank you very much. Okay, thanks for not letting me up here all exposed. Yes, we tend to do that. And that is the exact opposite of the peace of God. That's the exact opposite of the peace of God. Whenever we're going through circumstances that just have us under the gun, just absolutely have us under the gun, and we're just so stressed out, so not full of peace, anxious as all get out, worried as the day is long, It's the exact opposite of peace. What am I to do? What am I to do? I am to cast everything on the Lord. I am to trust Him totally with my circumstance and to go to Him with it and to talk to Him about it personally and to totally give it to Him. And in verse 7, here's what the Bible says. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Let me make a comment here about this. Have you ever seen somebody who's going through something like that we just talked about, going through a situation that is just really bad, and they ought to be really excited about it, and they ought to be really worried about it, and they ought to be really anxious about it. But as you watch them, they're not. They're just cool. They're just laid back. And I've experienced this this on a few occasions. In fact, I think I even said about the one person, man, if I were him, I'd be going nuts right now. And I probably would have been. But why aren't they? Because they're experiencing the peace of God. That surpasses, here's what the Bible says, it surpasses all understanding. You can't explain it. It's almost more than words can say. You can't even explain it. It really, you can't understand it. How does that person not, how are they not getting anxious about that? It's unexplainable. It's simply, I've given it to the Lord. He's in control. He is sovereign. Lord, give me wisdom to work out this situation the way you would have me work it out. May the outcome be up to you. May you get glory no matter what. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep you, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what this peace is. Is this true of your life? When you walk by the Holy Spirit, this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit will produce in you and in me. Is this true about you? Do you have the peace of God? Or is this something that the Holy Spirit needs to continue to work on? Number four is patience. Number four is patience. Patience. Patience, patience, patience. Another way you could say this is long-suffering. It carries the idea of tolerance. Putting up with, slow to get angry. It's the idea, it's simply the idea of having a long fuse instead of a short one. Long-suffering is being able to overlook the faults and become a professional forgiver. Psalm 19, verse 11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Matthew 18, 21 and 22, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, and this one is so key. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Let me ask you this. Are you someone who is really good at picking up on petty things? It's just really hard for you to let anything go with people. Little petty things you just pick up on, and very judgmental of people because of their little petty stuff. You can't let anything go. You've got to just hit it every time, every little thing. Boom, 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 boom. Looking for a chance all the time. Someone does something to you that they shouldn't have done, and you just cannot forgive. You've just not become a professional forgiver. You just haven't gotten to the point where you're letting things go. If I just explain you, then you have not yet come to the point where you're producing the fruit of long suffering or patience. And we need to get there. We need to get there. I don't believe that our society really helps us with this one a whole lot. I think we are so used to getting things with the snap of our finger. That person did me wrong and they need to apologize to me right now. They said something that they shouldn't have and they need to make it right now. I don't want to be long-suffering. I don't want to have a long fuse. And if I have to, it's not going to go well. This is what long-suffering is. It's having a long fuse. It's not letting yourself blow all the time at the drop of a hat. It's grace. It's grace with people. That's what long-suffering is. And it's grace in a loving way. Because I want to benefit you. I want you to be benefited. This is the way Jesus is to us. It's amazing. Long suffering. Are you a long suffering person? Is this fruit true of you? Or is this something the Holy Spirit needs to continue to work on as we walk by the Spirit, as we walk in His Word? Let me say this again. As we walk in the Word of God, this will be produced in you. Are you walking by the Word of God so that this fruit can be produced by the Holy Spirit in you? Do you have the strength to be long-suffering, provided to you by the Holy Spirit. Number five is kindness. Number five of his kindness. From the Greek word, Christotes, carries the idea of having a gracious, caring attitude, being tender with people, not coming down on someone in a harsh, angry way. It's the idea of being gracious with people, even when they aren't gracious to you. This is someone who doesn't look for a quarrel. Oh, they're not afraid to correct people when people need corrected. But this is someone who's not all the time out there looking for a quarrel. They're looking for a chance to be easy, to be kind, to be gracious. That's their natural tendency. This can be particularly challenging whenever other people are not kind or gracious with you. That's when this one can become a real, real challenge. But that's what it is. It's when your natural tendency, your natural bent, is to be easy on somebody that maybe isn't deserving your easiness. It's kindness. It's graciousness with people. Are you a kind person? Are you walking by the Spirit? Are you walking by the Spirit so you don't fulfill the desires of your flesh, but so that He can produce this fruit in you? Are you a kind individual? Or do you tend to find yourself to be harsh? Do you tend to come down with a sledgehammer when the time's right? When we walk by the Spirit, He will make us long-suffering and kind. They kind of run hand in hand. Number six is goodness. Goodness. From the Greek word, agathosune. And this kind of goodness that the Greek word talks about here carries the idea of being generous towards people to bring about good in their life. That's what this kind of goodness is. This is a generosity kind of a goodness. Emma, is this word hitting you yet? Generous. Do you find yourself to be a generous kind of a person towards someone else? Warren Wiersbe, I think, had a real good definition. He's like, this is kind of like just simply love in action. This is just love in action. Someone needs something and you become aware of it. Is your natural tendency to be generous? Or is your natural tendency to simply hold back and to not really give much care about that kind of a thing? But do you want to bring goodness to people's lives? Do you want them to be good? Do you want to be a part of that, of making someone else's life good? That's goodness. As we walk by the Spirit and become like Him, He will produce goodness in our lives. Did I explain you? Do you find goodness to be a part of who you are, where you don't even have to try? Because the Holy Spirit has done the work for you. This is kind of your natural tendency, your natural bent, is to just provide goodness for other people. And also for the Lord Himself. That's goodness. Number seven is faithfulness. Number seven is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Simply meaning to be dependable, trustworthy, and loyal. And boy, doesn't this describe our Lord? This word faithfulness. Numbers 23, and we could go to a lot of scripture. Let me just read to you one. Numbers 23, verse 19 says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will not do it? Or has he spoken and will not fulfill it? That's who our God is. He's a faithful God. He will never be unfaithful. He is faithful as all get out. There is nothing more faithful than our God. He is dependable. He is trustworthy. When our God says something, it will happen. That's what we are running on for salvation. When God said, this is enough, when God said, my death, burial, and resurrection is enough, and whenever you call upon my name and receive me as your Savior, you will be saved. That's what we're running on. We're running on the fact that He's not lying, but that He will always tell the truth. Do we tell the truth all the time? Are we a faithful person with our words? How about if someone asks you to do something and you say yes, do you do it? Every time. Are you a trustworthy person? They don't have to double check on you. No one has to double check on you. Whenever you're asked to do something, you say, yes, of course. It's done. You're trustworthy. You're trustworthy and you're loyal. You're not someone that will do something halfway just to get by. But you're not a quitter. And you won't jump ship. You're not someone who just jumps ship whenever it's good for you. No, you're faithful. You're absolutely faithful. Is this true of you and I? Are we a faithful people? Are you a faithful individual? As we walk by the Spirit, we'll find He will work out this fruit in you and I, and we will become faithful people as we walk by Him, as we serve Him, as we submit to Him. This is who we will become. Faithful, faithful people. Number 8 is the word gentleness. Gentleness. And I want to take just a couple of minutes with this one. Gentleness. Simply put, and I think you've heard this definition before, simply put, it's power under control. As you walk by the Spirit of God, He will produce this fruit of gentleness in you. Power under control. Let me explain it this way. This is someone who has made himself useful to be used by God the Creator. And I want to illustrate it this way. Think of a great big football player. You know who I'm talking about? Those guys that are just, they look kind of like me, actually. Not really. But I said that just to get your attention, honestly. Think of a great big football player. And those guys that just, they got muscles, they have muscles in places I haven't even got places, okay? They're just ripped. They're strong. They're powerful. They're powerful. Mikan's like, yeah, that's you, Ryan. Yeah, I see you over there. Okay. They're powerful men. And they can do anything they want to do, really. And they get out there on that football field, and they really have the power to do whatever the world they really want to do, and nobody can really stop them, okay? They can do whatever they want. However, what they choose to do, and this is what makes a gentle football player. This is the definition of gentleness. It's a football player who is strong, is athletic, can do whatever he wants, could do whatever his mind chose to do, but he has chosen to submit himself to the purpose and the authority of the coach. And he says, and basically he could say it this way, Coach, I'm bigger than you. I'm stronger than you. I really could do whatever I want. I don't really have to listen to you when it comes down to it. But I'm going to. But I'm going to submit myself to you because you have the good of the whole team in mind. You are the coach. You are the one with the authority. And I will submit to you and do what you ask me to do for the good of the team. That is gentleness. In our world, this is someone, maybe you have abilities. You have things that you're good at. You have a lot of strengths. But what you do as a gentle person is with everything that the Lord has given you, all the gifts, all the strengths, everything, you totally do not use them for your own self and what you want to do, but you totally submit yourself to the Holy Spirit's leading, to the Holy Spirit's power, to the sovereignty of God. That's what being a gentle person is. You accept the fact that God is sovereign and in control of your life, and you don't use your strengths and every gift that the Lord has given you to constantly try and get control of your life back. You give the Lord full control of everything that has to do with your life, everything. And you work for Him. That's a gentle spirit. And that is something that only the Holy Spirit can produce in you and me. Left to ourselves, we like to have control, don't we? I like to have control. But whenever I walk by the Spirit and totally submit to Him, He performs gentleness in me. And then the last one, and we're all done. Self-control. This one, simply put, is bringing all aspects of my life under the constraining power of the Holy Spirit. I walk in complete submission and obedience to the Holy Spirit, saying yes to what the Holy Spirit says yes to, and saying no to what the Holy Spirit says no to. That is self-control. You can illustrate this in thousands of different ways. I'm just going to give you one illustration, and we're going to be all done. Walking in submission to the Holy Spirit, saying no to what He says no to. My wife says something that really irritates me, and I just want to be right, and I want to say something that's going to put her down so that I can be the man and be in control. And I remember what the Holy, I remember what the Bible says whenever He says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Yes, sir. And I restrain myself. I practice self-control because I'm called to live a life of love, walking in submission to the Holy Spirit of God. That is self-control. And in conclusion, I'll just say one comment. The end of verse 23, this and we're all done, says, and against such there is no law. We talked at the beginning of this message, and most guys take about three messages to say everything that we've said this morning. We said at the beginning of this message that there are only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. That's the only two choices we have. When I step over here into this on this side of the line, fulfilling the desires of my flesh, there is all kinds of laws, God's laws against all that, and I break God's laws whenever I choose to do that. But whenever I walk by the Spirit, this is where the fruits of the Spirit are, on this side of the line. And the Bible says, against such, there is no law. There is no law against what we've talked about today. Someone who is loving, is joyful, is peaceful, is patient, is kind, is long-suffering, is practices self-control, and is a gentle person. These are all fruits of the Spirit that you and I can have in our life from Him whenever we choose to walk in the Word and have a close relationship with Him. Let's bow our heads as we close. If I could have just an instrumentalist come up just for a moment. We're going to pray here in just a minute. But let me first ask, has any of this hit you today? I'll say this, it has me. Studying for this message was more convicting for me than you can probably imagine. And as the instrument plays, I'll just make a couple of comments. Have you been walking by the Spirit? And let me ask this, in 2016, will you endeavor to walk by the Spirit far more and far more effectively than you did in 2015? Will you be in the Word? Will you spend time with God? Will you know God so you can learn to trust God? So you can live obediently to God. So that you can live in submission to God. Will you walk by the Spirit so you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh, but so He will produce in you and in me and in our church family the fruits of the Spirit? Maybe a couple of these fruits hit you today, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I could really use some work on a couple of them. Some of them I'm doing pretty good with, but I could really use some work on a couple of them. I'm just going to pray here in a minute. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I'd like for us to pray together. I'd like for you to pray silently as I pray aloud. And if there's any one of these that you know the Holy Spirit needs to work on you about, I'd like you to ask Him to do that. And I just want to say one more thing. Maybe there is no fruits of the Spirit in your life. Maybe that's what you were thinking. You're like, man, I don't know that really hardly any of these are true of me. Let me ask you this. Could it be that you don't know the Lord as your Savior. For we cannot produce these fruits in ourselves. They only will come from Him. Whenever He is in our hearts and has full control of us. Could it be that you've never known Him as your Savior? Well, you can know Him today. We're going to bow for prayer. If you want to come forward, you can do so. This invitation time is for you, but let us pray together as the instruments pray, as the instruments play. I'll give a couple of minutes, and then we'll pray at the end. Heavenly Father, I pray for us as we go into this new year, as we go into 2016. Father, would you be with all of us? And would you strengthen us and help us to find it important enough to make the time to walk by you and to not skip out on our time with you, our time in the Word spent with you, our time of learning from you, listening to you, talking to you, and working on our submission to you. Dear Lord, as a church family, will you strengthen us as a church and produce in us, more than you ever have before, the fruits of your Spirit as we walk closely with you. Father, if there is anyone in here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Father, may today they find the courage to come and talk to someone and find salvation in you for the first time. We pray all these things in your most precious name. Amen.